This season, Hunter Roofing is stepping up to the plate. As proud sponsors of Colt 45's baseball, we're cheering on every home run and keeping your home protected. From storm repairs to full replacements, trust the pros who bring quality to every job. Hunter Roofing, where quality meets the sky. Support local, keep your home in winning shape, and root for the Colt 45s. Visit hunterroofing.org today.
KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month starting at 8 a.m. for the Gorman Law Hour featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, during the Gorman Law Hour starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
Jason in the house.
Well, welcome to the Jason in the House podcast. Thanks so much for taking some time with us. You're gonna love this one. This is a little different one. Sarah Adams is going to join us. Many of you don't know who she is, and if you do know who she is, you're going to be very intrigued by who she is, because she's got a fascinating background. She's one of those people in my life that I came across that I was never expecting to, but I interacted with her. And I'm just going to let this play out when we have our little discussion, because I started interacting with her. I was introduced to her. That may be a generous word. I'm being a little elusive about this because I want to get her fresh take on how we interacted. And she played a pivotal role in a very important incident. And let me just leave a little bit of background here. So, when the Benghazi attacks happened, go back and think about the attacks on our consulate there in Benghazi, Libya. At the time, I was a subcommittee chairman on oversight on national security. And when that happened, just didn't look right, didn't smell right. We had four dead Americans, including our ambassador. And so, with some good staff work, we put together a preservation letter, a letter that went out that said, Secretary of State, who happened to be Hillary Clinton, you must preserve all communications. Now, under the Federal Records Act, you have to preserve all those communications anyway. But then you also need to preserve any extemporaneous notes, any voicemails, any. It just expanded the universe of documents that she needed to keep, which ultimately led to this whole back and forth and this whole interaction about her emails, because there was information that we learned over the course of time where she had set up her own homebrewed server. Now, if you recall, that server was set up on the very same day that she started her Senate confirmation hearings. And later, FBI Director Comey would testify under oath before my committee when I was then the chairman. I had elevated and become the chairman of the Oversight Committee. And he came and testified that it was merely a coincidence. It was no effort to bypass the Federal Records Act. Oh, by no means. It was just a coincidental situation that her own homebrewed server, as opposed to government computers, were used to set up her own email system. And it does end up that the Secretary of State did have some interactions and some communications along the way. For instance, with her daughter, the allegation is, I think the record will reflect, but I'd have to double check, but the record reflect, I'm pretty sure that, there had, and I'm paraphrasing, not a direct quote, that there had been a terrorist attack that night in Benghazi. And, despite what was coming out of the administration, Susan Rice, others, that it had not been a terrorist attack. It was just a YouTube video gone awry and people got whipped up and then people died. I don't want to go through all the details of all of this, but suffice it to say, I did not let go of this. I felt it was important to understand, make sure it never happened again. And the deeper I got into it, the more I realized that the regional security officer military liaison there had been yelling and screaming and hollering and hooting for a long time that it was not a safe place and that there were lots of potential attacks, and then four people ended up dying. So I kept doing after it. I was the first member of Congress to go to Libya. They wouldn't let me go to Benghazi, but I went to Tripoli, which is surreal. And then when I got to Tripoli, I started to realize very quickly that the people that I had interacted with, that I was talking to, who had been in country in real time when these things went down, that what the administration was telling us and what the people on the ground were telling us were two totally separate situations. And so the consequence was we continued that investigation. And that's where, just generally set it up, that's where I kind of bumped into Sarah along the way. We want to get to Sarah Adams, but we got to highlight the stupid, because you know what? There's always somebody doing something stupid somewhere. All right. I'm going to start at the bottom of my little list here. This comes from People Magazine. You know what a big People Magazine fan I am. So a woman traveling from Toronto to Scotland allegedly reported her bag missing at the airport. Hey, my bag's missing. Well, the police did a good job. They found this bag. Unfortunately, for her, it had $120,000 worth of smuggled cannabis inside the bag, and she's now facing charges. So, whoops. Aye, aye, aye. So many things wrong with that. All right, number two. This one comes from us from FoxNews.com. Ex-Los Angeles deputy mayor. You've heard this story. Hopefully you've heard this story. He's now going to plead guilty to a fake bomb threat to City Hall. Think about it. This guy is the deputy mayor of one of the largest cities in the United States of America. And the allegation is that he sent a text message to Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass and other high-ranking officials. This is back on October 3rd of 2024, that he had received a call from someone who had threatened to bomb the city. But guess what? He didn't actually happen. So now he's going to plead guilty. That's the story. Oh my gosh, what an idiot. All right. And the number one story this week, the number one stupid. This is the stupidest. A missing man in Turkey. Yes, the country of Turkey. Joined his own search party for hours before realizing he was the person they were looking for. So, evidently, this guy had been, he may have been inebriated, may have been drinking a little bit of alcohol, and he wandered into a forest in what's called the Bursa province. I have no idea where that is, but it's in Turkey. He didn't return, and so his wife and friends alerted local authorities. They put together a search party, and the search party was out doing this, and all of a sudden, he kind of stumbled upon the search party, joined the search party, and they started yelling his name, and he started saying, "What? I'm right here." Before people put it together and realized he was standing right there. I just love that story.
More Jason in the House next.
Greg is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm not an actor. I'm just a regular person. 8 years ago, I just didn't feel like I was on my game. I started taking Prevagen, and I want people to know that Prevagen has worked for me. Give it a try. I want it to help you just like it has helped me.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
Hey, it's Matt, your Leaf Filter Trusted Pro. Gutters are an often neglected part of the home. They're also one of the most important. Clogged, overflowing gutters can cause serious problems like foundation damage or basement flooding, which can cost thousands of dollars to fix. Let's face it, cleaning gutters yourself is not only a hassle, it can be dangerous. But when you get Leaf Filter, you'll never have to worry about cleaning clogged gutters again. Get started today by visiting leaffilter.com/deal to schedule your free inspection. If you decide to move forward, we'll professionally clean, realign, and seal your gutters before installing our patented stainless steel micro mesh system. Leaf Filter keeps out everything but the water. And it's backed by a lifetime transferable, no-clogs warranty. So you're protected for good. We're in your neighborhood and ready to help. Visit Leaf Filter today for a free inspection and estimate, and you could save up to 30%. Visit leaffilter.com/deal. That's leaffilter.com/deal.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. No, we're not one of the big guys. Truth is, we don't want to be. If you're over 50, Big Wireless probably has you paying for more data than you might need. You could be throwing away thousands over a lifetime. We're not here to be the biggest. We're here to bring you something we believe is better. Our plans start at just $20. You'll get the same fast nationwide coverage without the big wireless bill.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit consumercellular.com/facts. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional facts.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Aaron Copland, who died in 1990, was an American composer of concert and film music who touched the heart of America and merged the classics with the truly American art form of jazz. As music trends were changing with the advent of rock and pop music in the 50s and 60s, Copland was open and excited about where music was headed.
If we thought that music should have flow, a kind of naturalness of flow, the younger people may think it should be just the opposite. It should be discontinuous. It has too much flow, and that the flow is too same-like, etc., etc. So that every possible principle that I might name to you, they can give you the very opposite idea as a possibility. I think it's more revolutionary now, and therefore more difficult for the young people to find themselves.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
A homeless man from California who won the jackpot in more ways than one makes today's Dean's List. He's a familiar face at Sandy's Deli, and the store manager has known him for years. He had a dollar someone had given him and decided to try his luck at a scratch-off ticket. Store manager Wilson Simon says the man came into the store, bought the ticket, and spent a moment trying to figure out if what he was seeing was real. At first he thought he had won $100,000, but Wilson corrected him and said it was $1 million. Then he smiled and said, "Well, I guess I'm not homeless anymore." Not having the transportation to head to another city to pick up his winnings, Wilson offered to drive him. The man who wishes to remain anonymous told Wilson he wants to buy a place of his own to live and then buy a car to get around. He says he's not going to waste 1 minute of the rest of his life without doing something to better himself and help others. Janice Dean, Fox News.
Take a pause.
Got a wedding coming up and you just have to make sure your pet is in on it? Chewy.com has a new line of bridal gear for your pooch and even for your cat.
My absolute favorite is that little wedding dress harness that we have with the removable tutu.
That's Chewy's trend manager, Whitney Reese, who says they've got the goods for pets to dress as brides and grooms.
We've got the tuxedo with the removable tails. That harness is amazing. And then we also have the little tuxedo t-shirt for a more casual look for them.
They even have what may be the most important item of all for pets at a wedding, a leash in bridal white. And if the pet you want at your wedding happens to not be a dog,
our extra small items are suitable for cats as well.
Just be sure to keep them out of the open bar. Sorry, kitty. Take a pause. Joel Nadeau, Fox News.
It's Jason in the house.
All right, time to bring on Sarah. Sarah, it's been a hot minute since you and I have spoken. Thanks so much for joining us on this Jason in the House podcast. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's good to see what you moved on to.
You lead the fascinating life. Come on. I mean, you do some very interesting, very important work. And it's been a few years since you and I have spoken.
Yeah, I mean, we first crossed paths in 2014, so a decade ago, and it was when Trey Gowdy called me to talk to me, obviously, about what happened in Benghazi, and then he wanted to talk in person, so the two of you flew down, and then Boone was all crazy, and he's like, "We can't trust these congressmen," and he made you, like, meet me in, like, the flight path. of like the Tampa airport by the FBI office, so, and he was like, dress casual. I felt so bad.
No, this is funny. So this is the story. So, you know, I was the subcommittee chairman when the Benghazi happened, and then I was the first person to go, a member of Congress, to go into Libya. Things weren't right. We were trying to do investigations, trying to gain people's trust, so people who actually knew stuff and were actually on the ground. So finally, we start to get to people, and then the call came, and it went down like this. Hey, listen, if you want to meet with the right people, you're going to have to fly to Tampa. And then when you get there, go to a payphone. Like, I didn't payphone. Who has a payphone? There's a payphone. They described where to go. So I go to the payphone. Gowdy can't. Bless his heart. He's not a logistics person, right? So I go over there and I dial the number, and whoever it is answered, said, okay, rent a car, and then you just start driving south. I'm like, well, what does that mean? So here we go. We get into the car, and we just start driving south. We'll make ourselves known. Oh, great. Okay, what are we doing? So there's Trey and I driving south just by ourselves, and sure enough, they let themselves know, and we pulled out. We followed them to some park. Right? And we had to walk. It was super hot. I had to walk way over to some bench that was under this pavilion, and finally we got to meet and chat, right? I mean, that was my version of it.
Oh, yeah, that's us. We're kind of in, like, the trust no one category, and it takes a bit of time.
Well, explain to people. Okay, so that was the start, and it was really illuminating because there was so much we didn't know, so much we wanted to know, so much we needed to know. But maybe give some background to some people who aren't as familiar with you. Like, growing up, what you did, I don't know what we can say about what you did and did not do in your career, but up until that point, kind of explain who you were and what your role was and why you knew so much about what was going on.
Yeah, I mean, just real simple. I grew up as a small town girl in a town of 3,000. And when you grow up in those environments, all you want to do is like get out and see the world. So I went to college first for international business, then international relations. It was in college that my focus was on Kashmir, which was dumb if I wasn't really going to go work at the CIA. So it's kind of the only place I could apply to. So I applied when I was the night before I was supposed to be defending my thesis. I applied. They called me about 4 or 5 weeks later. I did my first interview, and then I was in maybe about 6 months later. So I got into the process pretty quickly. Over time,
wait,
in the CIA.
Can I stop for a second here? Who wakes up and goes to college and said, I really want to focus on Kashmir? Like, are you like a party of one? Like, nobody does that, right? What was the fascination there?
No, it's because when you're in college, they make everybody choose something different. And I was so far down the line and people were choosing countries, right? Like France, Germany, Saudi Arabia. And so when it got to me, every good country was taken. So I was like, what if I just did the region of Kashmir? And then it became my focus all of college. Like, remember, you're in your early 20s. Like,
right,
this is
right.
How, like, things go for you, right? You make one decision and then you're on that path for a long time.
Wow. Okay, sorry. So you focus on that, and that gets somebody's attention.
Yeah, well, I applied to the CIA, and then the funny thing is, in my first interview, my only interview, a lady comes, she's late, and she's like, oh, your interviewer is sick. I'm also sick. This is only going to be a few minutes. She asked me one question, why do you want to work here? I told her, and she's like, okay, we're good. And then she, like, leaves, and I was like, okay, either they box checked because this is a government job and they had to interview me, or, like, they were going to hire me no matter what. And then, yeah, I got the job. So it was, like, the weirdest interview I've ever had. And then, as you know, you go through, obviously, the background check, the polygraph, and then you go into the building, and that's even weirder. They give you no – it's worse than your experience in Tampa, right? Because they're like, go to this gate. And then even when you get in the parking lot, you don't know where to park. You don't know where the doors are. When you walk in, you kind of feel like you're going to be arrested, right? Because you're like, I'm not supposed to be in here. So it's a very strange thing. But, yeah, so I went in. Obviously, my first focus was the Pakistan-Afghanistan theater. Then I actually got recruited to go work in Libya because a lot of terrorists from that region, as you can imagine, were flooding into Libya after the fall of Gaddafi. And then my last tour there, I was working against the Iranian Quds Force. And then that's when I met you and Trey, and you guys recruited me out. And then I haven't gone back to the agency and now have done all these investigations, like, on the side with Boone, you know, not with the intelligence community.
So it's a fascinating life because, and I'm sure so much of it you can't talk about or can't, you know, illuminate like you could in your experience. But, I mean, you gained quite a reputation. I mean, what I learned about you over the course of time is, wow, she really knows her stuff. And, you know, it's typically a man's world, right? I mean, it shouldn't be, but it is. But, man, you did some really important work, and I don't know how to properly thank you and acknowledge it and recognize it other than to say I've seen and heard a lot more than I can talk about right now, and it was pretty amazing, and I just want to say thank you for that incredible service.
Yeah, well, it's really interesting because a lot of targeters are females, and most people don't know why that happened, and it happened basically after 9/11, the job didn't exist, and so, like, women started doing extra work in the CIA, and they started bridging the gap where there wasn't roles to do certain things because there's doing analysts were doing more operations and that type of thing. And so they just started doing targeting work on top of their day job, and then they made it like a profession. So that's why when you hear of like the famous women from Alex Station, right, you hear of the women. You hear Maya, who got Osama bin Laden, right? So it's right. Really interesting. It's a female cadre. It's actually very rare when there's a male targeter.
Interesting. Explain more what a targeter is. I mean, I think I have most people have a general idea. Okay, we're going to go target this person. But what are the intricacies of that?
Yeah, I mean, it's a simple concept to begin with. First, the CIA, they had analysts and they had case officers, right? The case officers collected the information. The analysts wrote up the reports and gave it to people, you know, like you when you served in Congress or the president. Well, there was kind of nothing in the middle who would help move those operations forward on the operational side, because in country, you can't just like recruit assets and spies. We started doing capture operations, right? Detentions, like who's the role going to become the expert in that? And so these people who are mostly analysts started filling that role. And so it's basically a bridge between the analytic side and the CIA and the operation, but your goal is to move an operation forward. Now, it's most known that targeters do capture operations, but you could help let them find different people to recruit, right? Like in the North Korean ballistic missile program or something like that, right? So it's pretty vast. You're kind of filling a hole that existed in the agency that now, you know, there's a whole discipline for it.
I think it would be absolutely fascinating. And look, the tools and the ability to actually go find the person that's going to be pivotal to making sure our national security is in place. But, you know, is there how do we find the balance? Like, there's a lot of people that feel like there's a lot of overreach. Like, hey, you're doing too much too far. Where are the lines? Where should those lines be?
Well, the good part is with CIA, it's supposed to be overseas external, and that should stay aligned, right? Like,
right.
I don't want CIA working the southern border on the American side, right? I feel like that's the line that's appropriate, because your job is any foreign threat to the United States, right? So when you get these joint operations that are FBI and CIA and people are blurring the lines and legalities, I mean, that makes people nervous, and it should. And as you know, when people misuse things like the FISA courts to do collections, that blurred the lines, and they lost a lot of trust in the public for it, right? So when people try to work a little too much in the gray, especially in the United States, you know, it just doesn't go well. It just, nobody appreciates that. And then you get nervous, right? You're like, hey, if we allow it to happen here, what makes it that they won't misuse it in this instance, right?
Well, and that's a whole, yeah, I mean, that's where you get into Director Comey and all kinds of, you know, abuse that you know, has been found. I mean, it's just well documented. It's not, I mean, it's in mass. It's not like a onesie twosie, whoops, we made a mistake. It was done, I think, Anyway, that's a whole nother topic. You're listening to Jason in the House. We'll be back with more of my conversation with Sarah Adams right after this.
Jump into summer with the huge parking lot sale brought to you by Memory Lane Antiques, Vintage, and Collectibles. Not only will the parking lot be filled with unique items, but inside the store, you'll save extra as well. Beautiful brass, antique vases, jewelry, and sports memorabilia galore. Vintage clothing and signs. It's all waiting for you. June 14th from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Shasta Gateway Shopping Center off of I-5 in Anderson. Thanks, Memory Lane.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
A proud sponsor of the Reading Colt 45.
Owners, landlords, and tenants trust Authority Property Management at 2663 Victor Avenue. They manage a variety of properties, including single-family homes, apartments, condos, townhouses, multifamily properties, and commercial properties. Authority Property Management offers full-time management, including finding and screening tenants, rent collection, financial reporting, and final walkthrough home inspections when they move out. Contact Authority Property Management today at 530-410-6085. And check out their website at authoritypm.com.
At the Community Foundation of the North State, we believe strong communities start with generosity and connection. As a grant-making public charity for over 25 years, we link people who care with causes that matter, supporting education, the arts, health, and more across the North State. Together, we're creating a lasting impact right here at home. The Community Foundation of the North State. Local giving, powerful results. Visit cfnorthstate.org to learn more. A proud sponsor of the Reading Colt 45s.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Everybody has been dealing with the availability of homeowners insurance in Northern California. Companies not writing your home insurance anymore are leaving the state altogether. Siskiyou Insurance has hired a specialist specifically for dealing with a homeowners crisis here in Shasta County. He specializes in what the market is doing, coverages, and which companies may be able to help. Call Brian Dews at Siskiyou Insurance Services for your home or auto consultation. Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Spring has sprung, and whether it's pollen, dust, dirt, or road grime, Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading has you covered. They offer car wash packages starting at $11, which includes a hand scrub pre-clean, a gentle automated pull-through wash, and a personal towel dry exit. Save money, save water at Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutoBody.com.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Arturo Fuente Chateau Maduro, handmade in the Dominican Republic with a dark Connecticut broadleaf wrapper, giving us a rich, medium-bodied cigar with pleasant notes of coffee, vanilla, and sweet spiciness. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
This is Jason in the house.
When you look back at what happened and didn't happen, Benghazi, Libya, you learned a lot of things. Give us some of your impressions, some of the things people should know about, things that you learned that most people don't know about.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things I learned is we have a little bit of hubris in the intelligence community, right? So I was working on the ground of Benghazi. You know, we had an entire team, as most people know from the 13 Hours movie. And when you're there, you feel like you know what's going on, right? Because you're collecting intelligence. You feel like you're the expert. And then something bad happens and you realize, okay, we did not know what was going on, right? So when we were in Benghazi, we had no collection on Al-Qaeda. We didn't know they established a base there. When we went and did the investigation and hunted down the terrorists, 99% of them, I never even heard their names when I was living on the ground of Benghazi, right? That's a problem. That's one of the biggest lessons I learned. And a piece of it is because just the priorities of the U.S. government. So after Gaddafi fell and the priorities got pushed down, it was, you know, collect on the political transition, collect on the economics, the oil industry, and there was not a big focus on the terrorism. Now, fast forward to why that matters is obviously since then the base of terrorism has grown significantly in Libya, and then a lot of those senior Libyans have now moved to Afghanistan since the fall of Kabul. So the little problem we had in Benghazi is now an entire problem in the country of Afghanistan, to where there's no accurate counterterrorism collection, and they're there plotting against U.S. soil. And as you know, another big attack on the United States shifts every priority you could ever have as a government or a new administration of what you want to focus on, what you wanted to be successful at, and what did you want to do moving forward. And then, like you said, in those cases, a lot more rules and laws get put into place that the American public then are like, hey, you know, like the Patriot Act and whatnot. So it actually then takes away some of your freedoms because you allowed these bad actors, right, to do something against you. And that's what I'm most concerned about, just watching history repeat itself.
Yeah. So can you say why you were in Benghazi to start with?
Yeah, it really was just, it was January of 2012. I got asked to go to Libya, and it was really to actually start operations to capture terrorists again, because you can imagine it was a whole new government in Libya. We had no approvals to give them classified information. There was no capture detain approvals. We didn't have like drones over Tripoli at the time, nothing, right? So I went in to help start and establish all that, and it was really to go focus on one terrorist. His name was Mukhtar Belmukhtar. He unfortunately ends up being the mastermind of Benghazi. So in the spring I'm in Tripoli working, you know, Belmukhtar, and then I went back to Libya and I went to Benghazi because that was where the concentration of most of the terrorists were, and I thought I could do better work in Benghazi. So it was in August of 2012, I went to Benghazi. And then, as you know, the morning of the attacks, I flew up to Europe for a meeting. So I missed the attacks. I came back, instead went to Tripoli because Benghazi was closed. And then I stayed there through the end of 2012 investigating the attacks on the ground. So really we were just doing, as you can imagine, intelligence collection as we do in any station or base. The thing was, as I told you, because there was so few dollars and focus from the administration on terrorism, I was the only counterterrorism target in country, and we only had one counterterrorism case officer in country, right? So we were a very small cadre going against thousands of terrorists.
Yeah, that's what was scary and remarkable about it, you know. And when I went, I was there about 29, 30 days after the attack, and I remember meeting with the people who had been there on the ground, and just, it was amazing to me how different the public story was coming out of the Obama administration and Hillary Clinton and Susan Rice and the like versus what was actually happening on the ground. I mean, that's what gave me sort of the energy and impetus to say, hey, I have got to go full throttle on this, because they were just lying to us. I mean, it's absolutely, totally lying to us.
Yeah, and remember, we had CCTV. There was CCTV at the consulate and the annex. So real time, we saw everything going on. I mean, I get people joking, like in the back of our book, we have a very accurate timeline. And they're like, how'd you get such an accurate timeline? I said, because the timestamps are on the CCTV cameras. A lot of Americans don't understand that. This whole thing is recorded. So to even say there's a protest when you had a camera in front of the building the entire day is just laughable. But as you know, there is a problem with politicalization of intelligence, sadly, and it seems to get worse instead of better over time. And it causes a lot of harm in ways people don't realize and ripple effects, right? Because even though it just seems like, well, they lied about this one incident, well, because they didn't go after our terrorists, they want them to kill other people, right? Our terrorists were involved in the big oil facility attack in Algeria, killed, gosh, like maybe 100 people, 4 Americans died in there. They're involved in the Paris 2015 attacks. We had at least one American there. One of our attackers was involved in the facilitation of the Ariana Grande concert, right? That was a horrific event of young people just at a music festival. Yeah. And yeah, it just keeps continuing, right? These terrorists don't stop planning and plotting, even if we want to ignore them and lie and say it wasn't Al-Qaeda.
Yeah. The other thing that really bothered me, it probably bothered me more than bothered most, is just how politically we were involved and engaged with the State Department. I think there was a Benghazi to the east, right? You have Tripoli to the west. The Benghazi faction, and correct me here, because you know this infinitely better than I do, they felt like they had started the revolution, that they had pushed out Gaddafi, and that they wanted to have more of a political say. But the, but the U.S. was pushing, I think it was his name was Jibril, was they wanted to be the prime minister, I think, or whatever the title was supposed to be. And that really ticked off the people in Benghazi. And is that an oversimplification, or am I oversimplifying it, or explain to us kind of the political situation that was happening there in real time?
Yeah, so that's really important, and a lot of people don't understand that nuance, because that is the reason nobody came and helped in Libya that night. So around the time of the attack was actually the Libyan elections, and the U.S. was backing, like you said, Mahmoud al-Jibril, who was going to dismantle the militias. That was the campaign he was running on. As you can imagine, all of Benghazi and every level was run by militias. They didn't have like an official government structure. You know, the military was militias, the police were militias, the Ministry of Interior was militias. So they were already upset that we were backing him. So it was on the 9th of September is when they did tell State Department, hey, we will no longer secure Americans in the city of Benghazi anymore. That should have been the day they canceled the ambassador's visit, because it said, hey, we're not coming. No one's coming to save you, right? You're on your own. Obviously, they knew an attack was coming, too, and didn't inform us, right? But, yeah, it was to push the Americans out of Benghazi, because we were assisting in affecting the government. And, unfortunately, as time went on, we actually ended up getting on the Al-Qaeda side of the government. And, unfortunately, that's then who we ended up supporting. So now the U.S. relationship is with the Prime Minister, Dbeibah, and he is Al-Qaeda's guy in the Libyan government. So it's very frustrating, right? The terrorists actually ended up getting their way in this situation. Now, it was an Al-Qaeda attack, but as you can imagine, on the ground, those militias were who were supposed to protect us, and instead they participated in the attack instead of fulfilling their duties under the Geneva Convention, right, to support, you know, the State Department employees there.
More Jason in the House next.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. If you're over 50 and tired of your wireless bill getting higher and higher, there are 4 things to consider. 1, how much data are you really using? As we get older, we use less data on our wireless phone, but you're probably still paying for an unlimited plan that was designed for 20-somethings. 2, if you see Get a Phone on Us, get your sneakers out and run the other way. No one is giving you a free phone. You are paying for that phone over time with an overpriced rate plan and a long-term commitment. 3, check the fine print on that $15 a month plan. It's probably an intro price that'll double or triple later. You might even have to pay for several months of service up front. 4, beware of cable company wireless plans. Most of your usage will be on Wi-Fi instead of 5G, and your calls and battery life could suffer. Switch to Consumer Cellular and get the same fast, reliable, nationwide service without the big wireless bill. Our plans start at just $20 a month.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit consumercellular.com/facts. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional facts.
Greg is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm not an actor. I'm just a regular person. 8 years ago, I just didn't feel like I was on my game. I started taking Prevagen, and I want people to know that Prevagen has worked for me. Give it a try. I want it to help you just like it has helped me.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
Attention retirement savers. A top U.S. bank predicts a 2025 recession as tariffs rattle markets. According to reports, 2025 recession risk just increased significantly. That's why thousands of hardworking Americans are turning to award-winning precious metals company, Goldco. Goldco is offering you a free 2025 gold and silver kit. Plus, you can get an unlimited instant match and bonus silver for qualified accounts. Call 855-969-GOLD. Find out how you can help diversify your savings, tax and penalty free today. That's 855-969-GOLD. Performance may vary. You should always consult your financial and tax professional.
This is Poll Parade with Fox News Director of Polling, Dana Blandon.
There's a new book out alleging Biden administration officials tried to hide their boss's decline. Now some Republicans in Congress are investigating, yet voters were skeptical from the beginning. In November 2021, only 1 year after former President Biden was elected, more than half of voters in our Fox News national survey said his age was interfering with his ability to serve effectively as president. 53% felt that way, including 3 in 10 Democrats. That was just the start. By the 2022 midterms, our voter analysis election survey found 57% felt Biden lacked the mental capability to serve. And by July 2024, our final read, it was up to two-thirds, 65%. So while some aides may have tried to mislead the public about the former president's condition, the numbers don't lie. Most voters didn't buy it. Be sure to check out our website, foxnews.com/poll. I'm Dana Blanton, and that's your Poll Parade.
This is House Call for Health. June is Men's Health Month. The Indiana Clinical and Translational Sciences Institute says men are less likely than women to get medical help. Around 60% get routine checkups, waiting for symptoms to become bad before seeking help. And because of that, many men go undiagnosed with conditions like heart disease, diabetes, and mental health disorders. The Institute identifying several critical key health issues men face. First is heart disease, the leading cause of death for men across all demographics. Regular screenings for blood pressure and cholesterol are recommended. Then there's prostate cancer. It's the second most common cancer among men. Mental health. Many men are affected, but seeking treatment isn't a regular action, and suicide remains a leading cause of death for younger men. The Institute says you can participate in Men's Health Month by scheduling regular checkups, promoting healthy lifestyles, raising awareness, and supporting mental health initiatives. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Jason in the house.
As it relates to our own homeland, you know, what I hear is see something, say something. You know, and so there's different levels, right? We don't want everybody walking around all day, every day thinking, you know, jumping in shadows, you know, thinking that everybody's, you know, it's a conspiracy and, oh, they got a different skin color, so they must be bad. Like, it, you know, that's not healthy. But if you were to foreshadow, and hopefully you're wrong, hopefully it never happens, but what are the threats, what are the things that the government's looking at or should look at, and what should regular people do?
Yeah, with the government, I mean, I think they really have to improve their counterterrorism collection. As you know, that's very complicated. Right. And lots of times it comes even as an NSC or Congress, right? But they have to actually be honest about the threat. And get ahead of it. And that's tough to move an entire machine. Now, when you're talking about people, there's so many different things you can do. As you can imagine, terrorists do pre-casing, right? So you can see things before that. Remember, James Woods very famously, the month before 9/11, saw 4 of the hijackers, yeah, reported it to both FBI and FFA, right? Something simple like that. Unfortunately, nobody jumped on it and flagged those or put those people on a no-fly or interviewed them. So the work wasn't done. Other things are very simple, right? So there's a lot of people in this country under like false identities, right? They came in, they dropped their passports or someone else. Well, if you notice, people don't even get their background details right when they're answering questions with you, or they tell you they're from somewhere and their ID they gave you is something else, right? You need to report that, right? Because they're here under false identity. We have that problem, not just with terrorists, but, you know, within the cartels, with a large number of these Chinese individuals who came over. Like, a lot of these people are here under assumed identity. So that's really important. You know, other things you can look for, there's always going to be suspicious things going on, right? People in the wrong place at the wrong time, packages in the wrong place at the wrong time. There was an incident last month where an individual, when a plane was kind of, you know, in the last 30 minutes about to depart and you're supposed to sit, he came up, he tried to go into the cockpit, he started asking very weird questions about if the pilot flies with the same crew all the time, how many flights does he have a day, very weird questions at a time everybody sits in their seats. So if you're going down the land, you're ready to get the hell off the plane, right? So right. There's all these little things that go on. Now, one big thing, and it has been very proactive, is there's been a lot of church surveillance. And the churches are starting to report it. As you can imagine, they're not always that good about it, but as it gets out more, that's happening. So things that are happening is people are showing up at churches in like 2- and 4-man teams. They're asking a lot about the security, but the big question they're asking, which is very concerning, is do you live stream your service, right? Mm. So if someone hears that, right, record it. So just these type of things, we all know when something is off because we know our neighborhood, we know our community, we see it every single day. So when something's slightly different, you know it, right? Just don't feel paranoid. Just say something. You're not going to get in any trouble if you said something and you were wrong. At least you might have given a piece of a puzzle or a pie or got people looking at things maybe they weren't thinking about.
So in terms of domestic threats, how would you, I don't know, rank them or what are they?
You know, people want to rack and stack the threats and then they want to focus on certain threats and then ignore the rest of them. I mean, I do think there are really big problems, obviously. The large number, I think, what was it, like a 2,000% increase of Chinese came over the border. That's a huge problem. We have a problem where we've let in a lot of people who do not like our country, right? Especially these terrorists, these Islamists. Our universities are giving student visas to them, right? They didn't even all come illegally. They're here legal, and now they have protections under our laws. And as you see, it's very hard to get rid of them. These cartels, what a lot of people don't know with the cartels is they aren't just working their business ventures, right? You think of cartels, you think fentanyl, but they're also helping the terrorists. When I say Al-Qaeda moves supplies into this country, they move some suicide bombers and fully automatic weapons and those suicide vests. They use the cartels to move them, right? So it's hard sometimes to separate these, and I do wish we look at more, look a little more evolved and not put everything in buckets because they will work together against us. Our enemies work together against us. Iran is involved, for example, in Al-Qaeda's homeland plot. The interesting part is they're not exactly leading the big 9/11, but they said, hey, we think you're going to be successful. The U.S. dropped the ball on Al-Qaeda. We want to use a piece of the plot to finally be successful in our effort to do an assassination attempt on Donald Trump, right? So they have tacked onto the plot as well. So we have to keep this in mind and stop viewing everyone as one solid piece. And, hey, where are they crossing over and how can we impact that and how can we even use them against each other?
That's why we need good, smart people like you who think it through and say, yeah, we can't just put them in buckets and then force rank them. Sorry, Jason, that ain't going to work. So that would be very naive to do that. So we don't know what we don't know. And in many ways, you know, this is why we pour billions and billions of dollars into our law enforcement and into our intelligence services. But finding that right balance where you have suspicionless Americans who have civil liberty protections, you know, are important. But at the same time, you know, we got to be able to root out those that are highly suspicious, that are exerting we travel millions of people, you know, are traveling every day. The threats to the United States are immense. I mean, it's almost overwhelming.
To mitigate, you know, them going after the wrong people or them not operating correctly is really training, right? I feel like we drop all this money into the IC and law enforcement, and then where it's sometimes weakest is training. If you train people properly, they'll do the jobs right, right? If you get rid of the bad actors immediately, it won't affect the rest of the force. Like, there's a lot of ways that we can hold people more accountable and prepare them the best we can. Even when we just talk about the most basic level of law enforcement, right? When we train them in an active shooter. They train on one single active shooter. Now, what are you going to do when there's a 5-man terrorist team, right, with fully automatic weapons? You weren't trained for it, and now you're in the situation. So we need to do a better job, too, of, like, preparing people in a community. And as you know, you start to do that, the community pushes back. There used to be this huge event out in California and it was federal, state, local. Anyone in the community can join. It was a huge, like, terrorism exercise. Well, then the local community was like, oh, you know, we're militarizing our for reasons, you know, because certain attacks got thwarted. And I told you there's these suicide vests. They go through magnetometers, right? So we do have a major aviation threat. And to focus and waste time and kind of have first world problems, you complain about some of that screening, you forget, you know, it's going to be really bad. Multiple planes fall out of the sky. Thousands of people die in one instant, right? It's just such an easy way to get mass casualty. So I just really wish people would just see what piece can I do, right? How can I help my community? How can I keep my family safe? And look at things from that way instead of assuming everything the government's doing is a negative cause. At least just understand, why is there this little liquid rule, right? Well, that plot was amazing, and they got lucky and thwarted that. And that was going to take down 11 to 12 airliners, which is 4,000 dead people in one instance, right? So that's why you have a small container at the airport. And so I feel like people just need to be educated a little better on why some of these things are in place.
Yeah, I've seen some intelligence on that sort of stuff, and I do understand it. It is frustrating because you got a little, in my case, hairstyling Joe. Thank you for all your great work, your service to the country, and thanks for joining us on this Jason in the House podcast. Do appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for coming to Tampa because I hate going to D.C.
Fair enough. I can't thank Sarah enough. You know, there's some people who step up, and some people, you know, they lead some really interesting, different lives. They do different things with great talent pools. You can sense the energy. I mean, this girl is, look, she is wicked smart. She works hard. She loves her country, and I appreciate her spending some time with us. I mean, you could go for days and hours and weeks talking to her with her background and her perspective. But, you know, that's what we try to do is listen to those things and understand them. And she's got some really interesting things to say. I would love it if you would rate the podcast. I would just love it if you did that. And you can subscribe to it to get it. We come out once a week. All kinds of people, the whole spectrum of people from, you know, political leaders and thought leaders and celebrities, and who knows, kind of whoever's interesting, and love to hear what they did, how they did it, and what their view on life is. I think that's what's fun with the podcast. I want to remind people you can listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts, and Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app. Again, thank you for joining us. Rate it, review it. That would be great. I'm Jason Chaffetz. This has been Jason in the House.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence. You can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Senior administration officials will meet with a Chinese delegation on Monday in London for the next round of trade negotiations between Washington and Beijing.
The meeting comes after a phone call between President Trump and Chinese leader Xi Jinping on Thursday, which Mr. Trump described as a very positive conversation. The two countries are attempting to break an impasse over tariffs in global supplies of rare earth minerals. Speaking to reporters on Air Force One Friday, Mr. Trump said Xi had agreed to restart exports of rare earth minerals and magnets to the U.S., which China has slowed, threatening a range of U.S. manufacturers that relied on the crucial materials. Ken Lorman reporting.
A federal judge has approved a groundbreaking settlement worth nearly $3 billion to allow for student-athletes to be paid by their schools.
A federal judge has signed off on arguably the biggest change in the history of college sports, clearing the way for schools to begin paying their athletes millions of dollars as soon as next month. U.S. Judge Claudia Wilkin approved the final proposal that had been hung up on roster limits. The sweeping terms of the so-called House settlement include approval for each school to share up to $20.5 million with athletes over the next year and $2.7 billion to thousands of former players who were barred from that revenue for years. I'm Geffen Kulbaugh.
Ukraine says that a large Russian drone and missile attack targeted the eastern city of Kharkiv last night. It killed at least three people and injured 20 more. Local officials say the attack included deadly aerial glide bombs. This year's Boulder, Colorado Jewish Festival being reimagined to focus on community healing. That comes after an attack during a weekly gathering of groups calling for Hamas to release their Israeli hostages. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Western Financial Group is not a law firm.
Hi, I'm Chuck McDowell, the timeshare cancellation guy and founder of Wesley Financial Group. And I want to set the record straight. I am not an attorney. I've never wanted to be an attorney. And the truth is, I really don't even like attorneys. If I sound like an attorney, I apologize. But what I've learned in my 15 years in the timeshare cancellation business is you don't need to be an attorney to get folks out of their timeshare. At Wesley, we've helped over 40,000 families cancel their timeshare, and I want to share with you how we do it. Just give my office a call. I guarantee we take you as a client. We'll get you out of your timeshare, or you'll pay nothing. Attorneys, this was meant to be funny, so please don't sue me, especially my friend Kenneth from Black River Falls, Wisconsin.
Call now for your free timeshare exit info kit. 800-613-5454. 800-613-5454. 800-613-5454.
Convicted killer and recaptured prison escapee Grant Hardin, known as the Devil in the Ozarks, has been transferred to the Varner Supermax prison southeast of Little Rock, according to Arkansas prison authorities. After a nearly two-week-long search in the rugged mountains of northern Arkansas, authorities recaptured Hardin on Friday, 1.5 miles northwest of the prison from which he had recently broken out. Residents in the nearby town of Calico Rock say they were shocked to learn that Hardin had stayed so close to the place he was trying to get away from. Sovereignty beat Journalism in a Kentucky Derby rematch to win the 157th Belmont Stakes yesterday, the second hosted at Saratoga. Sovereignty and jockey Junior Alvarado traversed the field of eight on a fast track after downpours throughout the morning and early afternoon dried up before post time. Journalism was second, and Beza was third, the same 1-2-3 as the Kentucky Derby. News and analysis at townhall.com. Boxing returns to Beantown.
After 70 years, boxing has returned to Fenway Park in Boston, the oldest ballpark in Major League Baseball. Boxer Alexis Bolduc's fourth professional fight is at Fenway.
And it's super exciting to be able to fight at Fenway, such an iconic venue.
Since new owners took over Fenway in 2002, the park has become a place for more than just Red Sox games, but for concerts and other sporting events like hockey and snowboarding. I'm Donna Water.
Today is Sunday, June the 8th, and a number of notable people are celebrating a birthday today, including singer Nancy Sinatra. She is 85 years old. Former Congresswoman Gabby Giffords turns 55 today. Comedian Keenan Ivory Wayans has 67 candles on his birthday cake. Musician Bonnie Tyler is 74. Actor Frank Grillo is 60. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website at havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Fox News Podcasts presents the Brett Baer Podcast with Fox News Chief Political Anchor Brett Baer.
It took weeks of back and forth before House Republicans were able to pass what President Trump has coined his big, beautiful bill. White House is saying that it is on the road now. While House Speaker Mike Johnson has been celebrating this accomplishment, he's also voiced concerns over how the Senate may alter the bill, heavily encouraging Senate Republicans, to make as few modifications to the package as possible. But now that the bill has reached the Senate, how likely is it that Republican senators are going to heed that advice, and will they struggle as heavily as House Republicans to find common ground on various aspects of that bill? Joining me today to unpack all of this is Oklahoma Republican Senator Mark Wayne Mullen. Having served five terms in the House before joining the Senate, Mullen has emerged as a key bridge between the Senate GOP and congressional Republicans and the White House since President Trump began his second term. He's made it a personal mission to ensure communication flows between the chambers, especially when it comes to complicated legislation like this. Senator, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me on.
So what is your take? You know, there's been all kinds of stuff flying out there about this bill, and from the conservative side of the party, real concern about that the cuts are not deep enough and that they should be deeper going in.
Well, I think all of us would agree that we would like deeper cuts. The fact is, can you get them? And then can you get the votes you need on them? We've been discussing the reconciliation, as you know, since really November, when we knew this was going to be the possibility. And everybody, as you know, has ideas. But those ideas don't mean anything if you can't get the votes. And so people like Ron Johnson and Mike Lee and even Mitch McConnell or Susan Collins or the guys that are in the middle, we all want to contribute to the bill. At the end of the day, though, we're going to put a bill forward that can get the 51 votes it needs in the Senate and still keep 218 in the House. The president has been engaged with us from day one. There isn't a week that goes by, really a day that goes by, we're in session, that I'm not in communication with the House, that I'm not in communication with the White House, and that we're not communicating all together in the Senate trying to get the ideas together. So now everybody can talk about their ideas. It's your job to get the votes on it. And now it's time to put the package together like the House did. And I believe we'll deliver this one big, beautiful bill. You know, when we first started, people were talking about two bills, three bills. They were talking about $5 trillion in cuts. And then they were talking about $900 billion in cuts. I think it were $1.6 trillion in cuts. And maybe in deficit spending. And maybe we can even do better than that. But we are still going through the scrubbing of it through the bird rule, which I call the bird bath. We got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, that's an important point out. You can only do so much in a reconciliation to get the simple majority to pass it in the budget structure. But
Where is the fissure here? Where is the line that you're trying to cross by, you know, the president said the Senate could change it, it could make it better, but there is this balancing act that you have to, if you change it, make it so that it can pass muster with House Republicans that just barely passed what they passed.
Well, what we can't do is we can't go below $1.6 trillion in deficit spending. That's a hard line, red line with the House. We know that for sure. We also know that they don't want to change the tax policies, which is fine. So we're not wanting to change tax policies. In fact, what we're wanting to do is make some of the stuff that wasn't permanent, like R&D, research and development, we want to make that permanent. But it's very important that your audience knows, I know you know this, but a lot of your audience may not understand that the House doesn't have to deal with the Byrd rule. We do. And the difference between what a budget is and what reconciliation is in reconciliation, we can only deal with mandatory spending, not discretionary spending. Discretionary spending is where we deal with the budget. Mandatory spending is stuff that's on automatic pilot, and then we can only deal with taxes. And so when the House doesn't have to deal with that. The House can get into mandatory spending, they can get into discretionary spending, they can get into everything between taxes. I mean, Bernie Sanders one year had one of his colleagues in the House put in a minimum wage increase, which got kicked out through the Byrd rule. So once it gets scrubbed, the bill's going to look a little bit different. And then we're going to have to mesh it back together. We are not wanting to rebuild this. What we want to do, and we've been very clear, the White House has been very clear with it, we want to keep the frame that the House gave us. We want to keep it intact. We may go in and repaint the interior walls. We may even redecorate a room or two. But the structure of the bill is really good with the House put together. And so we just want to overlay it and then give it back to them. And hopefully we have a better bill, not a worse bill. Now, there's one big sticking point that we've got to look at. Right now, the deficit or the debt increase is 4.5. I think $4.5 trillion for the debt increase, but that only gives us 2 years. The problem with that is, politically speaking, that puts us right against the midterm or just after the midterm, and we can't guarantee what the midterm election is going to look like. And if, God forbid, we were to lose the chambers, both House and Senate, or just one of them, the negotiating on increasing the debt limit increase, because with the president's economic impact he's having, which is positive, we're seeing our GDP grow. We really feel like the tax portion of it will really see the economy grow. We feel like we're going to be able to balance this budget with a deficit cut probably in a year, maybe 2 years. So we know we're going to eventually be able to quit borrowing the money, but now we have to so we don't default. But we want to put it past midterm. What I would like to do and what the president would like to do, in fact, the president and I talked about this, is that we would like to take it past his term and put it out of his presidency, not because we're trying to put it on somebody else. We feel like it gives his policies on the economy time to meet our debt increase where we won't have to borrow any more money. And so the next president can just basically keep it on autopilot and we'll be able to start paying down the deficit. But we're going to have to borrow money at least one more time. And that's a huge sticking point, because when you increase it, then you're increasing the deficit spending technically, even though you're increasing it for years down on this reconciliation package. It looks like we're increasing deficit spending, and we're actually not. But it's the way that it gets scored by, you know, the Congressional Budget Office, right. CBO.
So, I mean, for people who are, you know, not inside Washington, haven't been through this process, or they watch it from afar, to a lot of people, it looks like we're just moving the shells around and we're kind of saying this cut is really a cut, but in essence, it's a cut on an increase. You know, it's not really a cut. And when you say no tax on tips, yeah, it's no tax on tips. It's no tax on Social Security. Well, it's up to $4,000. You know, like there are gimmicks inside this thing that make the numbers work that maybe isn't as cut and dry as it's sold to the American people on the campaign trail.
Well, they're real cuts. We're cutting $1.6 trillion in deficit spending. Those are real cuts. When you start looking at no tax on tips, no tax on Social Security, and no tax on overtime, It's a game changer because you take it just Social Security, for instance. Those that are living on Social Security that's getting $1,600 a month, or maybe they're getting $900 a month, or maybe they're getting $2,300 a month. It depends on what level you is at. Those individuals that are getting that, they're depending on that, and they depend on almost every dollar of it. And so you take the tax portions off of it, that's going to put money into the economy. That's going to flow through our local economy. That's going to flow through our states and eventually flow into Washington, D.C. You take no tax on tips. Really, most of the cash that we were getting, that probably wasn't being taxed anyways. Now you're getting no tax on the credit card tips. What's important about that is restaurants only operate at about a 2% margin. Now, when the business owner isn't having to match that FICA on that extra taxes coming out of there, that's more that he can put back into his business. As a former restaurant owner, my wife, I'd say me, but it was really her that was running it. Man, that's a huge, huge deal. And then for us, we own a bunch of service companies. It doesn't do the guys any good when they want to work overtime because they hit a different tax bracket. And so they get charged so much more in taxes, where now you're going to see a lot more overtime because, hey, it's free money. I'm getting taxed on 40 hours. I'm not getting taxed on my time and a half. Or for us, we pay double time, anything over 40. I'm not getting taxed on that. You're going to see the workload from employees increase. That means it's going to go into the economy, too. That's why President Trump's economic plan, you're going to see skyrocket, which why we're doing a little bit here. What you're not seeing is how much increase it's going to have into our local economies, our state economies, and our federal economy. And that's why we see that the lines are going to hit each other in about 2 years. If we keep at this pace, and we could literally, for the first time, we could see that we start paying down the deficit.
More of the Brett Baer Show coming up.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. If you're over 50 and tired of your wireless bill getting higher and higher, there are four things to consider. One, how much data are you really using? As we get older, we use less data on our wireless phone, but you're probably still paying for an unlimited plan that was designed for 20-somethings. Two, if you see Get a Phone on Us, get your sneakers out and run the other way. No one is giving you a free phone. You are paying for that phone over time with an overpriced rate plan and a long-term commitment. Three, check the fine print on that $15 a month plan. It's probably an intro price that'll double or triple later. You might even have to pay for several months of service up front. Number four, beware of cable company wireless plans. Most of your usage will be on Wi-Fi instead of 5G, and your calls and battery life could suffer. Switch to Consumer Cellular and get the same fast, reliable nationwide service without the big wireless bill. Our plans start at just $20 a month.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit consumercellular.com/fax. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional facts.
Greg is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm not an actor. I'm just a regular person. 8 years ago, I just didn't feel like I was on my game. I started taking Prevagen, and I want people to know that Prevagen has worked for me. Give it a try. I want it to help you just like it has helped me.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
Warning, the national debt is spiraling out of control. Trade wars are causing record volatility, and inflation could make a devastating comeback. Will you sit on the sidelines and wait, or will you take action today to help protect your hard-earned retirement savings? And what if you could do it tax and penalty free? Find out more by requesting your free 2025 gold and silver kit from the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco. Plus, you could get an unlimited instant match on bonus silver if you qualify. Call 855-969-GOLD to learn more. That's 855-969-GOLD. Performance may vary. You should always consult your financial and tax professional.
I'm Ashley Dvorkin with a Fox Celebrity Profile with John Wick franchise director Chad Stahelski and Josh Oreck, the producer of the new documentary Wick is Pain, a behind-the-scenes look at the making of the John Wick franchise.
That's a Keanu thing. That was his mantra for 8 years. He would just stand up after every take and go, Wick is Pain.
Chad is, he won't say it, but he's a big proponent of pain as a cathartic experience.
The documentary spans parts 1 through 4, and Chad Stahelski gave the status of part 5.
The desire is there. both Keanu and I. And now it's just, it's a lot of talk. It's just kind of our wacky process with that. It's having the desire to jump back into the world.
The stuntman turned director also shared his thoughts on the recently announced Oscars Stunt Design Award starting for films in 2027.
Stunts is very collaborative. Even like on John Wick 4, I had 4 stunt coordinators, 5 fight choreographers, stunt rigger, driving instructor, like so many. So what are you giving, first, what are you giving the award to?
Ashley Dvorkin, Fox News.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
A young woman from Tennessee makes the Dean's List who received a $40,000 scholarship from the Taco Bell, where she worked part-time during the school year. Crimson Price applied for the Taco Bell scholarship, which gives back to their workers still in school. She was awarded $10,000 for each of the first 4 years of her undergraduate studies. That made it possible for her to continue her dreams of becoming a doctor at East Tennessee State University. Crimson says she was shocked when she received the news that she was one of the lucky people getting a college grant. She says coming from a rural town where not many have the funds to go to college, she's grateful for the opportunity. Crimson started working at Taco Bell a few years ago during high school to help her mom pay the bills. And she couldn't believe it when she found out they offered the scholarship program and knew it was a long shot, but decided to fill out the application anyway. Crimson Price, you made the Dean's List. Janice Dean, Fox News.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Although he was the Speaker of the House from 1971 to 1977, Democrat Carl Albert of Oklahoma served in Congress since 1947. In a 1990 interview, Albert gave his impression of President Harry Truman.
Harry Truman was the least educated president we had in my time, you know. But he had certain qualities that made him an unusual president. He was the most fearless government official that I've ever known. I remember one time some of us went down to talk to him about what we would like to have brought up through the years, and when he got through, he said, "Well, boys, I'll tell you, look at all this stuff," but he had a globe on his desk, globe of the world. He says, "The only thing I'm really interested in is protecting that little globe."
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk. The Bret Baier Show with Fox News chief political anchor Bret Baier.
All right, explain the Democratic talking point about $880 million coming out of Medicaid. And I know there's an explanation. Some of that is about illegal immigrants who are not qualified or not able by law to accept Medicaid. And then there's other stipulations that add up to that number.
So, first of all, the Democrats are leading by fear. They also say the tax cuts are for billionaires, and we're like, we're actually making current tax policy permanent, and we're keeping it from increasing on the average household. That if we let it expire at the end of this year, would increase the average household $1,400 a month in taxes or a year. They lead from fear. Now, talk about the Medicaid cuts. This is what's happened under the last 4 years of the Biden administration. We can't find a single person that was denied coverage by the Biden administration, meaning everybody was automatically enrolled and accepted into Medicaid. Just at first glance, we found 1.5 million illegals that was on Medicaid, meaning that they weren't pardoned. They were in the country illegally, not a future court date. They should have never been there. We found 22 illegals at one address that was receiving Medicaid benefits. Then when we looked at a different one, we found 6 million that was never qualified to be able to be enrolled in Medicaid, meaning these were males that were single with no dependents and had no medical history. So we found 7.5 million people in Medicaid that should have never been accepted. That's at first glance. When we start digging into it, you start looking at the states that have work requirements that was being denied to be able to enforce work requirements that were being put in place. You start looking at individuals that were literally outside the state. We had people that were living outside the country that were able to get benefits. So we're not cutting benefits for anybody that qualifies underneath the current Biden administration plan for Medicaid. We're not removing being one single person that actually qualifies. This is the people we're kicking off and the money we're saving is simply by waste and fraud in the Medicaid system.
And you can say that definitively.
And that is beyond me.
And when the Democrats say this is cutting, you're coming after grandma's Medicaid, you can say definitively that is not happening.
Not one single, well, first of all, Medicaid, grandma probably isn't on that, probably on Medicare with Medicaid supplement.
Supplement, yeah.
But we look at, there isn't one single child, there isn't one single mother, there isn't one single father that qualifies for Medicaid that's going to lose any benefits. Nothing. We're not cutting them out of benefits. We're not doing anything. We're just kicking off the people that are frauding the system.
And for the growth part, the taxes, much of it is to prevent the taxes from going up and to make them permanent, the tax cuts permanent, which is a big deal for, as you mentioned, families, not just millionaires and billionaires. But stimulatively, like, where is the growth part of this? Keeping it the same, one would think, is a positive, but is not like a supercharge into the economy.
Well, I disagree with that because as a business owner, I don't make just five-year plans. I don't make 12-month plans. I make 15- and 20-year investments. Mm-hmm. And when you're making those 15- and 20-year investments, especially with manufacturing that we're trying to bring back to the United States, they need to have a surety that the tax burden that they're going to have is going to be around for a while. It's not going to expire in 4 years or 5 years. Fair. There isn't a single business loan that's out there that's 10 years mm-hmm. or that's 5 years. They're all 10 years to 20 years. And so you have to – it brings a surety. It brings confidence. People do business inside the United States because we're reliable. We typically don't have a government that's flipping back and forth. Regulations sometimes for up until the last 10 years was pretty consistent. Tax policy was pretty consistent. We don't have the cheapest labor pool, but we're consistent. So they know where our economy is going to be. They know that they can invest, and they know they can invest for the long term.
All right. So last couple of things. Where do you think the holes in the getting it passed are? I mean, where do you think that the big pitfalls are?
I think the debt limit increase is going to be tough. Taking it from 4.5 to my proposal is taking it from 4.5 to 6.5.
Because you're not going to get any Democrats anywhere.
No, we're not getting Democrats anyways. This is just inside our conference. I feel like if we could take it to 6.5 and put it past, you know, the midterm election by a considerable amount, but letting the economy catch up, I feel like if we can maybe get from 1.6 trillion to maybe 1.8 trillion, I think that will help the hardliners, you know, accept that. I think making the permanent the taxes on R&D, there's some people in our conference, they don't like that. That's a sticking point for us. Medicaid is a sticking point. You have people like Josh Hawley that has been very outspoken about this. You've had Rand Paul that's very outspoken about this. You have Ron Johnson, who's been very outspoken and doesn't think we're cutting far enough on this. Those are sticking points. We've got to make sure that they understand. Dan Sullivan from Alaska, he's really concerned about this. Those are some real sticky points that we've just got to massage and make sure that everybody's in a good place. What I have proposed to the president is I said, I think it'd be helpful if us and the White House get together for a full day, not a lunch, not a half a day, but for a full day where we lock ourselves in the room and we start negotiating on all these sticking points. And I think we could get it done in a timely manner. Our goal is July 4th. I think we could possibly do it faster if we were able to get in a room and just simply sit down and work out our differences. A lot of times these are just simply misunderstandings. And if we were to bring in Speaker Johnson or we'd bring in Jason Smith, the chairman of Ways and Means, and allow him to sit in that meeting with us, answer all the questions, we can move quickly because the House has done the hard work by building the structure.
Yeah. It seems like President Trump would operate in that environment.
Yes. Oh, he loved the idea. It's just, I mean, he's got a crazy schedule, so it's making his schedule work out.
Yeah. So you're optimistic.
Now the president is saying glamorous bill to the president's desk. And we're going to deliver as quick as we can. I'm optimistic we can do it before July 4th. And there's some people that's pessimistic about that, but you know, those that are pessimistic about it, they also kind of want to go back to the two bill strategy. And we're not doing that. We're not going down that path.
All right. Well, we will follow the trajectory of one big, beautiful, glamorous bill, according to the president. Senator Mullen, thank you so much for the time.
Thank you for having me on. Appreciate you.
Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1993.
Our democracy must be not only the envy of the world, but the engine of our own renewal. There is nothing wrong with America that cannot be cured by what is right with America.
At 12:18 this afternoon, we got a call for a report of explosion in the basement of 3 World Trade Center.
I was blown across the room. Everything went black. It felt like a tomb. Then the lights came on, safety lights, so we ran out just trying to find a way out.
It took like 2 hours to get down. People were passing out, and it was horrible.
Ladies and gentlemen, the time for peace has come.
On July 2nd, 1991, I had sexual relations with Amy Fisher at the Freeport Hotel.
News as it happens then.
News as it happens now.
This is Fox News Talk. From around the world,
Trey Yingst, joining us from Tel Aviv, Israel.
To Washington,
I'm Mike Emanuel.
To your own backyard, if the story impacts you or your wallet, we're on it. It's the Fox News Rundown. We give every story the deeper look it deserves with must-listen interviews and smart analysis from the voices you can trust. Start your day with the Fox News Rundown. Listen and follow now at foxnewsrundown.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey, this is Trey Gowdy, host of the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Every Tuesday, you'll hear what's on my mind. Plus, every Thursday, there's a special bonus episode where we answer the questions that are on your mind. Make sure to spend your Tuesdays and Thursdays with Trey. Subscribe now at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts. Hope to see you.
America's listening to Fox News. Connect to Fox News Audio on the Fox News app. Listen to hear your favorite hosts like Brian Kilmeade, Jimmy Fallon, and Guy Benson standing up for what's right, live and via podcast. Just click listen, then swipe right and hear the latest news updates on your time. And scroll down to hear the latest podcasts from Fox News. And it's even easier to listen in the car with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Get programming alerts and notifications. Fox News Audio is on the Fox News app, the voices America trusts. Download it now.
It's time to take the quiz.
It's 5 questions in less than 5 minutes. We ask people on the streets of New York City to play along. Let's see how you do.
What is the name of the coffee shop in the sitcom Friends?
Mel's Diner.
Central Perk.
The answer? Central Perk.
Either way, you can always try again tomorrow. Take the quiz every day at thequiz.fox, then come back here to see how you did.
And thank you for taking the quiz.
From the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
American playwright Tennessee Williams, who grew up in the Deep South, died in 1983. He won the Pulitzer Prize for drama for A Streetcar Named Desire in 1948 and Cat on a Hot Tin Roof in 1955. Here, Tennessee Williams explains where he gets the inspiration for his character development.
I have always been more interested in my own kind of people, you know, people that have problems, people that have to fight for their reason, you know, the people that, to whom, you know, the impact of life and experience from day to day, night to night is difficult, and people who come close to cracking and all that, that's my world, those are my people, and I must write about the people I know.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
An overwhelmed mom from San Diego who was given a helping hand from a kind waitress in Tokyo, Japan, makes today's Dean's List. First-time mom Maggie Boyton was traveling with her husband while he was on business, and despite being excited for the adventure, there were tough moments along the way. While they were out one night for dinner, instead of enjoying themselves, they were like all new parents, juggling sitting down for a meal and taking care of a fussy baby at the same time. And that's when a really touching moment happened, when a waitress asked if she could take care of their child while they enjoy their dinner. Maggie says this incredible act of kindness deeply moved her. At first, she hesitated, but she knew right away that the woman really wanted to help. And that's when she just trusted her instincts. And in those few minutes, Maggie says she was given a renewed sense of connection and gratitude. Janice Dean, Fox News.
with Fox News chief political anchor Brett Baer.
We're joined by FBI Director Kash Patel. Thanks so much for the time.
Welcome to Quantico, Brett.
This hasn't been on TV, this kind of behind the scenes. This is where an FBI agent or analyst starts their journey, right?
Absolutely. The first grade facilities that we are trying to dedicate to the men and women who want to join the FBI need some upgrading, as well as the standards that we need them to meet the violent crime. And all of that is engineered right here in Quantico, Virginia. And we're thrilled that you're coming here for a behind the scenes.
Yeah. So applications to be an FBI agent. Back in March, it was about 5,600. The last time the Bureau saw monthly figures like this was back in April 2016. But you're seeing big numbers.
We're seeing huge numbers, and I think that's in large part to the administration's response on which way the FBI wants to go. Last year alone, the average for per month application was about 2,500 applicants per month. The first two full months of applicants we've had since I've been in the seat were at 5,700 applicants a month. So that shows me there's an excitement for the American citizen to join the Bureau.
All right, so let's talk about some of the things that you're doing. You're doing a lot of things all at once. One of the operations is on fentanyl, Operation Raptor. It's really across four continents, but you not only the fentanyl, but also the precursors to fentanyl from China.
Brett, almost no one's talking about it. Fentanyl is a synthesized manufactured drug. You don't clip it from a tree. And if you want to choke off the amount of fentanyl that's pouring into America, that's killing an American citizen almost every 7 minutes, you got to go to the source. So one of the first things I did when I became the director of the FBI, I said, we're going to mainland China. We're hitting up the fentanyl precursor laboratories and the banks that are moving the money and the transshipment routes. We started that over almost 90 days ago. We're going to suffocate the snake. We're going to cut off its head. We're going to use our interagency partners at Treasury for sanctions, at State Department for diplomatic negotiations. But the simple fact is the Chinese and the CCP have gotten smart. They said, okay, we're going to stop sending fentanyl precursors directly to Mexico because you've done such a good job at suffocating the southern border. We're going to send them elsewhere through other agencies, through other countries, and we are attacking those points to choke off the fentanyl precursor distribution. No one has done that before. To date, this year, we have seized 1,000 kilograms of fentanyl in the United States of America. That's 480 million lethal doses. That's enough to kill everyone in America and Canada combined. And that's just in these 3 months.
You know, you coming in, before you got this job, were obviously a critic of the FBI, how it was being operated. Now, after being on the job for as long as you've been on the job, what about the FBI did you get wrong before becoming director? Like, did you have some preconceived notion that turned out to be wrong about the Bureau?
I think what I was a critic of was the leadership, people who sat in this seat before me and people who were the deputies and the very senior portions of the Bureau who manipulated and weaponized the Bureau. I was a fierce critic of it because I led the Russiagate investigation and I proved that my predecessors went to a federal court and lied to them just to weaponize the FBI and the DOJ. That is 100% true. I think one of the things that surprised me the most, and pleasantly so, was that the amount of men and women at the FBI that hated that they did that to the Bureau. And that when I got in the seat, when Dan Bongino got in the seat, they said, we want to fix this place. We want to work with you. We've been trying to do it for years. We've been trying to increase training. We weren't able to. We've been trying to take the technological advancements around the world and import them into the FBI. That hasn't been done. And so we've just seen a void in terms of long-range planning at the FBI that all the men and women at the FBI wanted to do, and their leadership wouldn't let them.
You know, you were on with Maria a few weeks ago, and you said this.
What we can do now is continue to put out the documents and the information that these people withheld from the American public. You're about to see a wave of transparency.
What do you mean?
Just give us about a week or two.
All right, we're almost at 2 weeks. So this is about Crossfire Hurricane. You just talked about that. All that you've been learning, can you give us a little of that wave of transparency?
Absolutely. So just quickly on Crossfire Hurricane, that is a continuing production. We have found material, and I'm the Crossfire Hurricane guy, that I didn't even know existed in FBI holdings.
So there's been held someplace else? Or
that's been stashed away in locations that people thought we wouldn't find it because we wouldn't know to look for it there. And as promised with my congressional partners, I'm working with Congress on constitutional oversight because that's what the American people deserve. And those documentations have been flowing to Congress nonstop on a rolling basis since that interview. But more importantly, people have had questions about January 6th and whether or not there were FBI sources, not agents, sources on the ground during January 6th. And I told you I would get you the definitive answer to that, and we have. And we are in the process, again, of working with our partners to divulge that information, and it is coming. And I will tell you this. The answer to that question will surprise and shock people because of what past FBI leaders have said about it.
Former FBI Director Chris Wray eventually admitted to Congress there were 26 FBI confidential human sources in and around the Capitol January 6th, but not actual agents. Can you say that's true? Are there more than that? What you're learning from that?
I can say that that is definitely a piece of the truth. Why it took a ton of time for and questioning in Congress for the director to get that point is what I'm trying to eliminate from the FBI. If Congress asks you a question under oath, whether or not there were sources in around January 6th at the Capitol, you as the director of the FBI need to know that and not deflect and give a DC answer. You have to be prepared for that. And that's the answer we're giving. That's the answer Chris Wray should have given.
And eventually everybody's going to know the whole picture.
Yeah, because the American people deserve that. And look, no one's more frustrated than me. Remember, I was chief of staff at the Department of Defense on January 6th. We said that we were ready, and the president had previously authorized the National Guard to be there days in advance. I spent 2 years, a small fortune, grand juries, to testify to the truth. And what happens now, years later? We were right. Bowser and Pelosi rejected that offer. And instead of figuring out how to prevent security lapses like that ever again, the American public spent tens of millions of dollars and countless hours on TV listening to conspiracy theories because those in positions of leadership failed to tell the American public the truth.
But there is a lot of conspiracy theories out there.
There are.
The Epstein thing, you dealt with Maria, you said, as far as you know, he killed himself.
I'm telling you, he killed himself.
The other thing on the internet is the Epstein files. What's the answer to that?
The answer to that is the same as everything else. I'm not going to withhold information from the American public ever, but I'm also not going to rush to get it out there in a format in which they can't rely on it. So on the Epstein matter or any other matters, we are diligently working on that, and it takes time to go through years of investigations, years of political maneuvering, and years of cover-up to get the American people what they deserve. And that's what I'm going to give them on everything.
Yeah. And if somebody says, how long is that going to take? You know, we always see investigations in Washington that end up in blue ribbon commissions, and it doesn't seem like anything comes from it. Do you think actual prosecutions will come from some of this stuff?
I think from some of this stuff, when we go back and look at things like the pipe bomber case, the cocaine in the White House, January 6th, and Crossfire Hurricane, the prosecutorial decisions will lay at the Department of Justice. But we are rigorously investigating them, and I think we've developed some great leads. And I also think we're not going to wait for any blue ribbon commissions. That's up to Congress. If they want to do that, that's totally fine. They're a coordinate branch of government. But we've got answers coming on all these matters.
You promise?
I do.
Your deputy, before he became deputy, said this.
Like many people, I believe the FBI knows the identity of this pipe bomber on January 6th, 4 years ago, and just doesn't want to tell us because it was an inside job.
Why didn't they find the bomber, the pipe bomber? You know, they know who the pipe bomber is. The FBI knows who it is.
Does the FBI know who it is?
The FBI, under me and Dan Bongino's leadership, has reestablished that investigations of great public importance that almost blew up the DNC and RNC in Washington, D.C., an area in which then Vice President Harris was in the vicinity of, is something that needs to be answered. And we learned that FBI leadership in the prior administration slow rolled and basically shut that investigation off. So we turned it on. And we have some great leads. And Dan is actually going to talk about that when he does Fox and Friends tomorrow.
Okay. You don't want to give us a little something?
I can't get ahead of everybody.
All right.
More of the Brett Baer Show coming up.
Greg is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm not an actor. I'm just a regular person. 8 years ago, I just didn't feel like I was on my game. I started taking Prevagen, and I want people to know that Prevagen has worked for me. Give it a try. I want it to help you just like it has helped me.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. No, we're not one of the big guys. Truth is, we don't want to be. If you're over 50, Big Wireless probably has you paying for more data than you might need. You could be throwing away thousands over a lifetime. We're not here to be the biggest. We're here to bring you something we believe is better. Our plans start at just $20. You'll get the same fast nationwide coverage without the big wireless bill.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit consumercellular.com/facts. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional facts.
Hey, it's Matt, your leaf filter trusted pro. Gutters are an often neglected part of the home. They're also one of the most important. Clogged, overflowing gutters can cause serious problems like foundation damage or basement flooding, which can cost thousands of dollars to fix. Let's face it, cleaning gutters yourself is not only a hassle, it can be dangerous. But when you get leaf filter, you'll never have to worry about cleaning clogged gutters again. Get started today by visiting leaffilter.com/deal to schedule your free inspection. If you decide to move forward, we'll professionally clean, realign, and seal your gutters before installing our patented stainless steel micro mesh system. Leaf Filter keeps out everything but the water. And it's backed by a lifetime transferable no-clogs warranty, so you're protected for good. We're in your neighborhood and ready to help. Visit Leaf Filter today for a free inspection and estimate, and you could save up to 30%. Visit leaffilter.com/deal. That's leaffilter.com/deal.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Janice Dean, Fox News senior meteorologist and host of the Janice Dean Podcast. Join me every Sunday as I focus on stories of hope and people who are truly rays of sunshine in their community and across the world. Be sure to subscribe to the Janice Dean Podcast at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to spread the sunshine.
America's listening to Fox News. From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
This is Jason Chaffetz from the Jason in the House podcast. Join me every Monday to dive deeper into the latest political headlines and chat with remarkable guests to hear their take on American life, politics, and entertainment. And don't forget, there's always somebody doing something stupid somewhere.
Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcast.com
or wherever you download podcasts.
Must listen to podcasts from Fox News Audio. Stay on top of the latest forecast with America's Weather Team in the palm of your hands.
Here's the latest from America's Weather Center.
It's Fox Weather updates throughout your busy day, every day.
That heat's going to be out there for one more day.
Temperatures being 30 degrees above average.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com. Connect to Fox News Audio on the Fox News app. Listen to hear your favorite hosts like Brian Kilmeade, Jimmy Fallon, and Guy Benson standing up for what's right, live and via podcast. Just click listen, then swipe right and hear the latest news updates on your time. And scroll down to hear the latest podcasts from Fox News. And it's even easier to listen in the car with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Get programming alerts and notifications. Fox News Audio is on the Fox News app, the voices America trusts. Download it now.
The Brett Baer Show with Fox News chief political anchor Brett Baer.
What did you make of your predecessor's walk on the beach with the shells 8647?
You know, the FBI is bigger than any leader it's ever had or ever will have. And James Comey's a private citizen and he can walk around the beach and talk about seashells and Crayola crayons for all I care about and talk about how we're the conspiracy theorists. But I just remind the American people of one thing. When that man was a leader of the FBI, he perpetrated the largest criminal conspiracy, packaged political information from overseas, took it to a federal FISA court, and illegally surveilled a political opponent. So I won't be lectured on how to run this FBI from that man.
Well, James Comey was just on talking about all of that, the seashells and everything, and he also talked about you.
Obviously, you start with the fact that the guy has literally nothing in his entire adult life that prepares him for this role, and so that's deeply concerning to start with. In a way, I can... a little bit sorry for the guy. He's barked at the FBI nonsense for years, and now he not only caught the car, he's got to drive the car. And so that is a daunting task for him. I hope he lets the career people do their jobs, but they've already forced out a bunch of good career people and sent a chill through the organization.
That's James Comey.
If he wants to come after me, no problem. I've been living rent-free in that guy's head for years, and that's just a bonus. Do you know how many copycats we've had to investigate as a result of that beachside venture from the former director?
Is that right?
Do you know how many agents I've had to take offline from chasing down child sex predators, fentanyl traffickers, terrorists, because everywhere across this country, people are popping up on social media and think that a threat to the life of the president of the United States is a joke and they can do it because he did it? That's what I'm having to deal with every single day. And that's what I'm having to pull my agents and analysts off because he thought it was funny to go out there and make a political statement.
The 8647, the president said that he believed it was an assassination message. On assassination attempts, I did ask the president on the Middle East trip about this.
Is there frustration on your part? Will we get transparency? Will we know the bottom line story?
It's very interesting because we have great people. I think Pam is incredible. I think Ash is incredible. I'm relying on my people to tell me what it is. You know, we have deep-seated craziness in this country. And I'm relying on my people. And so far, they're good. But so far, and in this case, the Secret Service, they tell me it's fine. But it's a little hard to believe, to be honest with you, okay? It's a little bit hard to believe as I get that throbbing feeling.
You know, it sounds like he wants more about at least the Butler guy that we don't know a lot about. Will we know a lot more about him? Is there more to know?
I don't know that there's more to know, but you're going to know everything we know. And that's the other thing we did. We take assassination attempts, and especially the President of the United States, extremely seriously. And we don't feel that the American people have been given the information they need on that. And we're digging through the files, and we're getting them a more robust picture of what happened and whether or not there were any connections.
I get all that. And I also understand investigations underway, and there's potential prosecutions for people who are living, but he's dead.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew a lot more about a lot of different people than we know about that guy. And, you know, there's people that circulate all kinds of stuff, that it was an inside job or there was foreign influence or whatever. Can we say that it's not that?
And that's a great example of people looking for things where things don't exist. In that specific case, since that individual is dead, we are able to say a lot more, unlike the Merchant case in New York, which is ongoing, and whether or not there are any connections. We have definitively given that information over.
You were recently up on Capitol Hill answering questions.
Mm-hmm. When should we expect this FY25 spend plan for the FBI? Have you seen it? Have you reviewed it? When will we get it?
I'll get you an answer, ma'am. I don't have a timeline on that.
It was due last week, by law.
I understand.
And your answer is you just understand you're not going to follow the law?
My answer is that I am following the law, and I'm working with my interagency partners to do this.
It is budget season.
Yeah.
And should you have laid out a budget by then to Congress? Because everybody is looking to how much you're going to spend and how much they're going to take from perhaps you to make this all work.
Do I have a budget at the FBI? Sure. Of course I do. But the Office of Management Budget at the White House sets the budget for the United States government. And so if they have a budget, which we agree with, they need to roll that out. And they're doing so on their own timeline and working with Congress on that. What I'm telling the American people is that we will be stewards of the taxpayer dollars no matter what budget we are given and focus on these priorities, crushing violent crime, defending the homeland, and fierce organizational accountability. And we'll make it happen. We're not the guys running around on private jets. And somebody, maybe in Congress, should ask for how many flights on a private jet Director Comey took or my predecessor Director Ray took and how many personal trips they took. I know they want to take pot shots at me, but I've been working nonstop on this job, including pretty much every single weekend. And somebody should ask the tens of millions of dollars that were wasted on personal junkets by prior FBI directors before lecturing me on a budget for the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
But you have a good sense from the White House what it looks like, and are you going to be able to operate in that parameter?
I am. We are in a very good position.
When do you want everyone out of the Hoover building? You say you want to move out of that building. Where would the new headquarters
be? I can tell you that we are in the process of moving out. We've just worked out the final logistics to begin that process, and we are actually in line with keeping the American taxpayer dollars on mission, shuttering about 6 different offices the FBI has in the D.C. area, and we're moving to our new location within the D.C. area, and that process has already started.
Which is where? Maryland?
We're staying in Washington, D.C., right next to our partners at the Department of Justice, and we're getting out of the Hoover building. I have cargo nets holding up the cement structures of the exterior of the Hoover building because it catches falling cement and prevents it from hitting someone in the head. I'm not making that up. Why no one in the past decided to address that standard or lack of standard and make that building unsafe is beyond me, but we're addressing it.
So you're going to leave that building and then go to another building next to Homeland Security?
Next to the Department of Justice.
Justice, got it.
Because we have to, this is a great point that I think people overlook. We are a component of the Department of Justice. Moving us an hour and a half outside of town, every morning, you know what me and the deputy do? We walk across the street to brief the Attorney General, the Deputy Attorney General, and the PAYDAG on the most pressing matters of the day. If we leave, how are we going to do that on a daily basis?
What's the thing that keeps you up at night?
The CCP, for a whole host of reasons we haven't even talked about, their cyber espionage campaign, what they're doing undersea, what Russia's doing overhead in terms of space, and their cyber intrusion capabilities like Salt Typhoon. They have made wildly successful penetrations into our telecommunications infrastructure. And what they do is they suck up our information, Brett, and this is what keeps me up at night. They're playing the long game. The fentanyl production by the CCP, I firmly believe, is their way of killing tens of thousands of military-aged men and women in the United States of America. They are wiping out generations of Americans that could come here and be an FBI agent.
Director Patel, we appreciate the time. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Maybe we could hit the kettlebells.
All right.
Trade wars, rising costs, global chaos, and a skyrocketing national debt. It's no wonder gold keeps hitting record highs. With everything going on in the world, thousands of hardworking Americans are looking to help diversify their savings with precious metals like gold and silver. And they're turning to the top-rated gold company, Goldco. Right now, Goldco is offering you a free 2025 gold and silver kit. Plus, you can get an unlimited instant match and bonus silver if you qualify. Find out how you can diversify your savings tax and penalty-free today. Call 855-969-GOLD. That's 855-969-GOLD.
Performance may vary. You should always consult your financial and tax professional.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. No, we're not one of the big guys. Truth is, we don't want to be. If you're over 50, Big Wireless probably has you paying for more data than you might need. You could be throwing away thousands over a lifetime. We're not here to be the biggest. We're here to bring you something we believe is better. Our plans start at just $20. You'll get the same fast nationwide coverage without the big wireless bill.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit consumercellular.com/facts. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional facts.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
there. Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.